You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There must be some significance to the fact that God gave us two ears and only one mouth.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us ears to hear your word of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, your Son. Your call to love those around us enough to listen to them. And your summons to live the life of faith in Jesus Christ with hope, courage, and the joy of life that is truly eternal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. People are so often preoccupied with themselves and with the things of the world that they cannot listen to God. Maybe you're one of them. There are so many things to do that you haven't got time to listen to Him. There are so many things to claim your attention that you've put off listening to God until another day. You wait for something great to happen, something dramatic, before you will listen. The thing I want to talk about today is a triumph of miniaturization in the human body. Nowhere else in the human body is so much crammed into so small a space. There are enough electrical circuits to provide phone service for a good-sized city. It also acts as a kind of automatic pilot to keep people on the beam. It does all this in an area just a little larger than a hazelnut. What do you think I'm talking about? The human brain? Wrong. It's the human ear. The mastermind of all creation produced a masterpiece when he fashioned a marvelous organ like the ear. There must be some significance to the fact that he gave us two ears and only one mouth. It probably lends some weight to the fact that the Lord of all creation is always saying to all of us, listen. We can remember what we hear. We can remember it a lot better when we see it, too. Prophets such as Jeremiah conducted visual demonstrations like putting a yoke around their necks in order to make the point. The Lord God himself gave a visual demonstration to the prophet Elijah in order to make him listen and then to remember what he had heard. After Elijah had done away with the prophets of Baal, Queen Jezebel sent a messenger to him saying, I swear by all the gods, may they do the same thing to me and more if I do not make your life as the life of one of those prophets of Baal by this time tomorrow. Elijah fled for his life to Beersheba, the city of Judah, and left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, sat down under a broom tree, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, he said to the Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. If I have got to die anyway, it might as well be now. The Lord provided Elijah some food and a jar of water. The prophet ate and drank and lay down again. An angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, for there's a long journey ahead of you. He got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, a mountain of God, where he found a cave and holed up there. The Lord came to Elijah and said, what are you doing here? He replied, I have defended the Lord God of hosts, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets. Only I am left. And now they are trying to take away my life, too. The Lord told Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain. A mighty windstorm hit the mountain, such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a still, small voice. Or as one translator has put it, the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, as people do in that part of the world, and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. There came a voice to him again and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? He gave the same old answer. I have been hard at work defending the Lord God of the armies of heaven, but the people have broken your covenant and have torn down your altars and have killed every one of your prophets except me. And now they're trying to kill me too. Then the Lord said to Elijah, Go back by the desert road to Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and anoint Jehu to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be taken by Jehu, and everyone who escapes Jehu will be taken by Elisha. Incidentally, there are 7,000 men left in Israel who never bowed the knee to Baal, and not one of them has ever kissed him. Some years ago, a book was published, very popular at the time, entitled The Awesome Power of the Listening Ear. Elijah found out, as many people have since that time, how you can go through life trying to solve your problems and refusing the awesome power of the listening ear. It's much easier to talk than to listen. It seems much more appropriate to run, even to run away, than to listen. Our world is faced with an epidemic of unhappy and broken marriages because people refuse to listen. How often doesn't it happen that a husband reads his paper while his wife is talking and doesn't hear a word she says? How often doesn't it happen that a subordinate cries for help to his superior, who acts as if he hasn't even got one ear, not to speak about two, when eventually the subordinate lashes out with a violent remark or even a long letter, he gets fired for his pains. The great thing about God is that he listens. He keeps promising to listen to the prayers of his people who have faith in him. And he does listen. He answers, sometimes with a yes, sometimes with a no, and sometimes with a wait a minute. But he listens. The remarkable thing about people, even those who claim to have confidence in God, is that so few of them listen. They are so intent on doing their own thing that they haven't got the time or the inclination to listen to God or to anyone else. Practically all the problems that have arisen in the world, not to speak about the church, are the result of an insistence on the part of people to go their own way with consequent failure or refusal to listen to God or to anyone else. Good communication calls for good listening. The hardest thing a lot of people have to learn is how to listen. I have to learn that myself all the time. I still have to learn it. I'm so bright, so up on things, so ahead of everybody else that I don't have to listen. I can solve the problems of people even before they tell me about them. That's a common human failing. And I've got it along with a lot of other people. Maybe you've got it too. We all have it in some form or other, in some degree or other. A fantastic amount of talking goes on, and pitiful little listening. The family gathers around the picnic table, and everybody's jabbering away at lightning speed. There's an attempt on the part of one little member of the family to make a few points of her own. She's only 4.5 years old. But when she attempts to speak, nobody listens. Finally, somebody notices that little Joy wants to say something. Hold it! Hold it! Quiet! Let's hear what Joy has to say. Now Joy has her moment, and she has forgotten what she wanted to say. She breaks into tears in utter frustration. What she had to say was very important to her, and it might have been something that the family would have remembered for the rest of their lives. But little Joy can't remember what she wanted to say. Nobody wanted to listen to that wonderfully still, small voice. I was once associated with a pastor in a congregation in a very large city. He had a great heart for people, and he loved to visit them in their homes. He got to know them, and they got to know him. Together they got to know God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When television first came in, people were simply entranced with Milton Berle and Ed Sullivan and Maury Amsterdam and Dagmar and all the hokey dramas which gave people a slice of unreal life. They rushed home from work to turn on the television set in order to find out what Lucy was doing that week. When the pastor came to visit, people simply refused to turn off the set. They had it on so loud that you couldn't hear yourself or anyone else talking in that room. My friend, the pastor, a very human man and also a man of faith with a genuinely humorous outlook on life, quickly devised a method for overcoming that problem. He talked so softly that no one could hear him until that television set was turned off. To his own surprise, his system worked. In every case, the set was turned off, and people began to engage in genuine conversation, which those people will tell you today turned out to be a lot more important to them than what Lucy was doing that week. God has his problems getting through to people. He has the same problems getting through to us that we have getting through to our children, or that our children have getting through to us. People just don't listen. Elijah wouldn't listen to the strong wind that broke up the rocks. He wouldn't listen to the earthquake. He wouldn't listen to the fire. Finally, God got through to him with a still, small voice, the ordinary voice, the undramatic happening that God so often uses to demonstrate his power. For the most part, God speaks to all of us in ordinary ways, in the ordinary events of life, in the still, small voice. While people wait for the dramatic occurrence they are always demanding and waiting for, but won't listen to when it comes. Jesus Christ told a great story about the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man had everything and Lazarus nothing. Lazarus died, and the angels gathered him into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes to ask a few questions. One of them was the earnest request that somebody be sent back from the dead to warn his brothers. Abraham replied, "They have the word of God. Let them listen to that. Even if someone rose from the dead, they would not listen." The Son of God was born into the world with a little baby cry. He lived a very ordinary life without even a mortgage to his name. He died what you might call a subordinary death on a hump of skulls outside a city wall. That son is the still, small voice of God. I know it's hard to believe that God would do things that way, but that's the way God does them. Elijah can testify to that. The proud prophet finally had to listen. He found out that he was not the center of the universe. God is. The prophet was not the only one left, as he claimed. There were 7,000 who had stood up to the threat of Ahab and Jezebel in their own quiet way, with firm faith in God. In spite of everything, they were still there, with a still small voice testifying with their lives to the faithfulness and the redemptive power of God. God's still small voice to our world is Jesus Christ. Even today, in his own unpretentious way, the Son of God gave his life for us all. In Christ, believe it or not, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. He is God's still small voice in history, not to be drowned out by the whir of industry, the roll of drums, the thunders of war, the pronouncements of the mighty, or the jabbering of people preoccupied with themselves. The good news of God cuts through all of that with his still small voice. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. The great God who in times past spoke to our fathers in various ways through the prophets, has in these last days spoken his ultimate word to the world in his Son. For when he had by himself purged our sins, was set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God is God, and Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, my friend. Listen to the still small voice of God. He can send the wind and the earthquake and the fire, he can. But he sends Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him shall have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Elijah stood at the mouth of that cave, depressed and disappointed, because people were not carrying him on their shoulders after the defeat of the prophets of Baal. He saw only the dark side of things. He was the only follower Jehovah had left. This man had to learn to listen. Not to himself, but to God. Listen he did, and again discovered the power of God. God speaks to you today in his own way, in his word, with the still small voice of his crucified son, who died for your sins and lives to give you life. That still small voice speaks to you today. I know you, he says. I have redeemed you. I love you. I want you to have my forgiveness. I want to give you real life. Let me take your sin and let me give you life. Listen. Listen to God, my friend, and listen to those around you. Listening is one of the best gifts you can give to your family. Listen and feel with your friends who have problems. Listen. As one who does not know everything, but knows one thing for sure, because you yourself have listened. Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. By faith in him, you are a member of God's family. You are not the only one, but you are one. Amen.